It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Welcome to this hour of sitcoms. Later on, we hear Ed Gardner as Archie in Duffy's Tavern, but right now, it's an episode of Lum and Abner, best known on air for their 15-minute broadcasts, this from their sitcom days in 1948, from April 10th of that year, a CBS broadcast called Buying a House.
Granny's, Abner. I believe that's our ring.
Aw.
It's time for Lum and Abner, brought to you by the Armed Forces Radio Service from Hollywood. Tonight, the Armed Forces Radio Service brings you another uproarious visit with those delightful old characters down in Pine Ridge, featuring Clarence Hartzell as Ben Withers, Gloria Blondell, and the music of Felix Mills and the orchestra. And now, here they are, your old favorites, Lum and Abner.
New house. Lum, what do you want a new house for? Your old one ain't got a hole in it.
Well, Abner, I ain't said nothing yet, but I'm sort of aiming on asking Miss Rowena to be Mrs. Eddards.
Your mother?
Oh, silly, my wife.
Why, Lum Eddards, you old rascal, when did you decide all this?
Oh, last night I was sitting around all by myself, and I got to thinking about you and your woman, Elizabeth.
Now, don't let that discourage you.
I got to thinking how you got married 30 years ago, and I stayed a bachelor. Now I've missed out on 30 years of married bliss.
Yeah, me too.
Well, here, I can't stand around talking all day. I've got to get over to Squire Skimp's office and see if I can buy one of them houses in that new subdivision he's opened up.
Subdivision?
Yeah, you surely know what that is.
Why, sure. A subdivision is a cow pasture with utilities.
Why, yes, Lum, we have a few choice houses left out there in... Beautiful, romantic, scrub oak flat, yeah.
You know, Squire, I still can't believe this subdivision is actually built already. Seems outlandish, building 50 houses in a little over 14 days.
Yeah, well, we were slowed down on account of shortages, Lum. Now, here's a picture showing all the dream cottages in Paradise Tract right here.
Oh, yeah, they're beautiful.
Oh, yes, indeed.
But they all look just exactly alike.
Oh, no, no, Lum. Our architect got a great deal of variation in them. Now, if you look again, you'll notice some of them have the doorknob on the right side of the door, and others on the left, you know. Left-handed people, you know, might.
But I'm feared I'd still have a hard time telling which one belonged to me.
Well, now, you might do something like Mr. and Miss Pomeroy did, Lum. They bought two of the houses. On one, they painted his, and on the other, they painted hers.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I reckon I could paint on their mine.
Yes, yes. Well, let's sign the paper, Lum.
Well, now, wait a minute. I want to be sure what I'm getting into here.
Lum, you're getting a house that's just as good as they were built in 30 years ago. In fact, a lot of the materials we used are 30 years old.
Well, that's good.
Now, for the walls, we use the finest cardboard available.
Well, on the one I looked at, the walls seemed kind of flimsy.
Well, no wonder, Lum, we hadn't put the wallpaper on yet.
I see.
No, you don't have to worry about these houses, Lum. We had them all okayed by the finest county building inspector that money could buy. Believe me, we had to pay plenty, too.
Well, that sounds awful good, Squire, but I was just wondering if Scrub Oak Flats wasn't too far out. It's a good 8 miles out there.
Well, read what it says on the poster, Lum. Only 2 minutes from the heart of downtown Pine Ridge.
2 minutes? What by, jet propulsion?
No, by telephone. Let's sign the paper, Norman, and get along with it.
Well, there's one other little detail. Money.
Oh, tut, Lama. This is a low-cost housing project. We've cut the prices of these houses way down to only twice what they were.
Can you afford to do that?
We're scraping through the best we can, yeah.
Well, how much is the down payment?
Well, the down payment's nominal.
Nominal. Is that a low or high nominal?
Well, $500.
Granny's nominals has went up.
Norm, just how much cash do you think you could raise?
Well, taking into consideration all my cash assets on hand, plus $9 that Abner owes me, I'd say roughly $9.84.
Well, haven't you got something you can sell, Norm?
No, all I've got is that worthless piece of land you sold me one time. You claimed it was going to be a great banana orchard.
Lom, I gave you the banana seeds free. It was my fault the trees didn't come up now. Hey, don't start that again. I'm tired of hearing about that.
Well, I reckon I better just forget about a house.
Yes, I'm afraid. Now, wait a minute. By George, there's a chance I might be able to sell that land of yours, Lom. Let me make some phone calls here, and I'll check with you later on today.
Law, Lom, Squire will never be able to sell that old hunk of no-count ground of yours.
Grannies, he's just got to, Abner. I want to get one of them paradise bungalows the worst way.
If you're getting it from Squire Skimp, that's the way you're getting it.
You know, the time I've always envied you the most, Abner, is at the end of the day when you go home and there's somebody waiting for you at the gate.
Yeah, well, it is nice.
Yeah, it must be wonderful.
Oh, it is. Special when she licks my face and wags her tail and barks.
Idiot, I'm talking about Elizabeth.
Oh, you must be mistaken. Mom, Elizabeth can't bark.
Wait a minute. I believe that's our ring.
Oh, I guess she could bark. She practiced.
Hello, jot them down, Storrel. I'm Eddard's talking.
This is Squire Skimp. I finally contacted that prospective buyer.
Yeah?
It's an Eastern outfit that wants to put in a branch factory here, and I've just about sold them your banana orchard as a site for it.
Well, good.
Yes, I'm hoping to close the deal tonight, and I'll let you know the minute I do. So long.
Goodbye. Granny's Abner, somebody's going to put up a branch factory on my land.
Branch factory? What kind of branches are they going to manufacture?
I don't know, but Scrub Oak Flats, here I come. Nothing can stop me now. I'm going to ask Miss Rowena for a date right tonight and propose to her.
Well, turn on your domino personality then, because yonder she comes right now.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I can do it after all that.
Yes, you can, Lum. Now, get ready now. Here she comes. Get ready now. Well, howdy, Miss Rowena. Lom wants to ask you something.
Abner, keep out of this.
Oh, really, Mr. Edwards? What is it?
Go on, Lom. Go on.
Well, stop pushing me.
He wants to ask you for a date tonight.
Yeah.
He wants to discuss something important.
Yeah.
Now, see there, Lom, it wasn't so hard, was it?
Why, Mr. Edwards, it's very kind of you, but I'm afraid I'm going to be busy this evening.
You work in Summers?
Oh, no. An old friend of mine arrived here today. A very dear old friend from my hometown of London, Ohio.
Well, bring her along.
Oh, but Mr. Edwards, she's a gentleman.
She is.
Yes, and I mean, he's a gentleman. Oh, dear me. I'm so excited, I hardly know what I'm saying.
I don't doubt it.
I'm so anxious. You know, Mr. Edwards, I'm so anxious for you to meet my friend.
Yeah, can't hardly wait.
You know, if things work out as Herbert, that's his name.
Well, that figures.
As Herbert hopes they will, he'll probably settle in Pine Ridge.
Well, I know a house in Scrub Oak Flats he can get awful cheap.
Oh, that wouldn't be any inducement for Herbert. You see, he's a man of unlimited monetary means.
He's what?
He's loaded.
Loaded.
The kid's in the chips, huh?
Wait, wait. Mr. Edwards, what was it you wanted to discuss with me?
Let it go.
Well, I must be running along then. Herbert is waiting for me. Oh, there comes the dear boy now. It looks like this is your lucky day, Mr. Edwards.
Yeah, don't it?
Come in, Herbert.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Edwards, may I present my dear, dear friend, Mr. Herbert Maddox Maddox?
A pleasure, I assure you.
I'm proud to make your acquaintance, Mr. Maddox Maddox. This here's my partner, Mr. Peabody Peabody.
Howdy, howdy.
Herbert and I were childhood sweethearts.
Well, you sure have held your age well, Herbert.
Well, thank you, I think. My, this is a rather quaint little shop you chaps have here. Yes, how is the junk business now?
Junk business?
Herbert, this is a general grocery and merchandise store.
Oh, say now, this is interesting. I've heard about such places as this, but I never believed they actually existed. But tell me now, what do you chaps do for a living?
Why, Mr. Peabody here owns the Standard Oil Company. And I've got a half interest in Jack Benny.
You don't say. Well, by George, look at this old antiquated relic.
Wait a minute. You can't talk about Miss Rowena like that.
Beg your pardon.
No. I mean this old-fashioned coffee grinder.
Oh, that. Oh,
isn't that quaint, Pooksie?
But yes, Herbie.
Tell me, does it actually work?
Why, sure. See, you just put one hand down inside of it and start turning that crank. Go on, put your fist down in there.
Watch out.
Mommy's
I know, but... here, I'll show you how it works.
No. I couldn't stand the noise. My nerves, you know. Yes, it's one of the main reasons I'm considering living in a place like this, to have peace and quiet where nothing ever happens. It's the condition I'm in. That's all I can stand.
Well, come along, you poor dear boy, and I'll show you the rest of the sights.
Oh, by all means. You know, Pooksie, I think I'm going to enjoy living in this backwoods village. It does a man good to see how the other half lives.
Pooksie. That ain't disgusting.
Lom, do I actually own the Standard Oil Company?
Shut up.
I was going to say, they've been charging me for gas down there.
Nerve of that varmint coming in here stealing my girl. That snake in the weeds, dead blame it.
And now, Mom, don't go flying off the handlebars now.
Junk shop. Other half. Peace and quiet. Wait a minute. Peace and quiet. So that's what Herbie wants, huh? Abner, I believe I'm getting an ID. And unless I miss my guess, there's going to be a hot time in the old backwoods town tonight. Well, howdy, Ben.
Goodbye, Lon.
Come on in, Ben. Say, did you think up any new ideas to scare Herbie with?
Fine.
What are they?
Yeah. And just in case we might forget them, I jotted them down on the back of an envelope.
Well, good for you. You're getting smart, Ben. Where's the envelope?
I didn't bring it for fear of losing it.
Huh?
And then where would we be?
Yes, fine.
Well, do you think our plan will succeed, Haley?
It's got to. We've got to get shut of Herbie and get old Lum married off. He's already planning on buying a honeymoon cottage. Well, that is, if Squire Skimp can sell that land to Lum.
Sounds highly romantic. Reminds me of the time I was courting Myrtle Travers of Mount Ida. Did I ever tell you about that, Abner?
Not more than 80 or 90 times.
Well, sir, I was first attracted...
Ben, we ain't got time for that now.
Fine. I was first attracted to Myrtle Travers at a carnival. I was attempting to toss a ring around a goose's neck and win a Cupid doll, and somehow I happened to ring Myrtle. And then a few minutes later, I bumped into her on the Dodgem car. Then one thing led to another, and after sharing a cone of cotton candy with her, I suddenly realized I was stuck on her.
Yeah, well, Ben, we better...
Well, after I got loose, I bought two tickets for the... Petal of Love. And you know what happened?
No, I don't, Ben.
Nothing. We couldn't get seats together. However, it gave me a chance to try out my luminous dial wristwatch. And Myrtle became engaged to the man she sat next to.
Yeah, well, Ben,
Howdy, Mr. Abner.
Howdy, Cedric. Well, I dog is this time you's getting here. Where you been?
Well, sir, last night Papa brang me home a new boomerang.
Well...
And I've been busy ever since then trying to throw my old one away.
Well, I hope you had time to round up all the junk we're going to use tonight, Cedric.
Oh, yes, Mom. I got everything on this list you give me.
Good, good.
One streetcar bell.
Yep,
one boat whistle.
Check.
One air rifle.
Check.
One pneumatic grill.
Check.
One bottle of nitroglycerine.
Check.
Reminds me of the time I went on a scavenger hunt with Myrtle Travers.
Ben, don't start nothing like that again now.
Fine. I didn't win, I recall. All I brought back was Myrtle.
Well, let's get on down to Luke's Pierce restaurant. Lum will be along in a minute, and Herbie and Pooks are more than likely ordering supper right now. We get out.
Herbert, they have clam chowder. Waiter, is this chowder made from eastern clams?
I never had a chance to hear their accent. They were dead when I got them.
Herbert, perhaps we'd better just settle for the chicken fried steak after all.
Yes, let's do. This'll be quite interesting for me. I've never seen a chicken fry a steak.
Herbert, won't you ever grow up?
Not if he keeps making remarks like that, he won't. Well, what'll it be? Two chicken fries?
Yes, that's right.
Grease two and cauterize them.
Waiter, I wonder if we might have a spot of something first.
Spot of something?
Yes, anything you have.
Well, there's a spot of anything we got right there in the tablecloth. Take your pick. I'll rustle you up some eating tools.
Strange little man.
Yes. Well, these are really wonderful people after you get to know them.
How does one stand it till then? Oh, well, it doesn't make any difference to me as long as there's peace.
Well, evening, Luke, old boy. Hey, look at the drum I got to play in a Pine Ridge band.
Oh, dear. Gee, that's a pretty good one, Abner. Won't it play no louder than that?
Yeah, sure. Listen.
Oh. Yeah. Please, must we have that racket?
Huh? Well, Herbie, fancy meeting you here. Hey, mind if I sit down with you folks for a while?
Well, really, Mr. Peabody,
much obliged to you. Here, Herbie, will you hold my drum for a minute?
What?
Go ahead and play it if you want to. Here.
No, thank you. I don't play.
Oh, there ain't nothing to it. You just take this drum. Well, there's old Lum. Well, howdy, Lum. I was just learning Herb here how to play the bass drum. Come on and sit down with us.
Well, I can't stay long. I've got to get home and brace all the winders. They're blasting over at the stone quarry again tonight.
Lummy. Again?
Well, it sort of breaks up the monotony.
Breaks up everything in town.
Nothing ever happens in our quiet little town. Oh, I'm too late. No use going home now. Yeah, how are you tonight, Mr. Double Maddox? You look a little nervous.
No. I'm fine, thank you.
Go right ahead with your drum lesson if you want to. Don't mind me.
Here's your eating tool.
Oh! Great Scott, waiter, do you have to slam the silver down like that?
No, I can slam it down like this.
Oh!
My goodness, such rudeness. Oh, please don't let it upset you, Herbert.
Oh, that's all right, Pooksie. But you might ask him to bring him some knives, though. I see he forgot them.
Oh, well, Luke don't dare to leave knives laying around loose in a place like this.
He don't? He doesn't?
Well, you know how folks will get to fighting in a little town where nothing ever happens.
Oh, yeah! There's old Ben Withers. Come on over and join us, Ben. What you been doing?
Fine.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Withers. You're all bandaged up.
Am I? Oh, yes. It's really nothing. I just happened to stop and pet what I thought was a dog, and it turned out to be a wildcat.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is time for them to come down out of the hills looking for something to eat around town.
By the way, Lom, I heard that Charlie Redfield's brother was missing.
A minute. Please, you mean there are the wildcats actually running loose in your streets here?
Oh, no. There ain't hardly none left around here.
Oh, the mountain lions is driving them all off.
Mountain lions?
Yeah, did their howling keep you awake last night, Ben?
No, it was a pleasant relief to me, Abner. It drowned out the screech owls for a change.
Oh, dear. Rowena, perhaps we better run along. I don't seem to be very hungry after all.
Oh, stick around, Herbie. It's so dull around a town like this.
What was that?
Oh, my stars. The little Abernathy boys must be out tonight.
Boys will be boys.
Who'd they get last week?
Miss Rowena, your cousin Ezra wants you to call her right away. Phone's in the back room here.
Oh, I'll be right back, Herbie. Waiter, did Ezra say what he wanted?
I couldn't hear very well. The fireman was making so much noise.
Fireman? Good grief, what was that?
What was what?
That noise. Didn't you hear it? There it is again.
I didn't hear nothing. Did you, Lord?
No. No, did you, Ben?
Fine.
Just what kind of a noise did you think you heard, Mr. Maddox?
Well, it was a sort of, kind of a brrrr.
Oh, that's them woodpeckers we got around here. We hear them so much, we don't even notice them no more.
When you go out in the evenings, Mr. Herbert, I suggest you always wear a hat.
I don't think I quite understand. I just hope. Oh, great Scott, what was that?
What was what?
Now, don't tell me none of you heard that. It sounded like a streetcar right outside the window.
A streetcar in Pine Ridge? That's ridiculous. You must be imagining things.
Why, I heard it, I tell you. I know I did.
Next thing you're going to tell us, you're hearing a boat whistle here in Pine Ridge.
Well, yes, I was.
What's the matter, Herbert? Did you think you heard something else?
No. No, of course not. Look, when Pooksie comes back, tell her I had to leave town immediately. Urgent business in China.
Well, hey, don't rush away, Herbie.
Oh, I must. I've got to catch the next boat out here. Goodbye.
Oh, that's a shame he had to leave just when he was getting acquainted with our quiet little town.
Well, now, that is very strange. Ezra said he didn't want me to call him.
Well, Miss Rowena, I think that was just a mistake. And now I want to ask you...
Oh, where's Herbert?
He just taken a slow boat to China.
I beg your pardon?
He's left town.
And now that he's gone, Miss Rowena, I want to ask you...
Oh, there you are, Long.
Hi, Granny Squire, you're just the man I want to see. Did you get the money from my land so I can buy the house?
Oh, not yet, Lom. I can't locate the man who was going to put up the factory on your property. I was told I'd find him here.
Here?
Yes, his name is Herbert Maddox. Maddox.
Huh?
Now, what was it you wanted to ask me, Mr. Edwards?
Let it go, Miss Rowena. Let it go.
The Loman Abner Show with Gloria Blondell, Clarence Hartzell, and Felix Mills and the Orchestra was originally released by CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, for listeners in the United States and rebroadcast for American servicemen and women overseas. Sergeant Russ Thompson speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
And Abner, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 10th, 1948. First heard on CBS, that was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeFonier. And now on to a broadcast of Duffy's Tavern from early on in the series run on NBC from April 25th, 1944. This episode features special guests bandleader Bob Crosby and wife of Bob Hope Dolores, making her second of two radio appearances on NBC. The first would be on her husband Bob's show. Ed Gardner stars as Archie next on Duffy's Tavern.
A special rebroadcast for the American Armed Forces and their allies. You're invited to drop in where the elite meet to eat. Duffy's Tavern.
Tavern, where the elite meet to eat. Archie, the manager, speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Tonight, Dolores Hope and Bob Crosby. Bob Hope's wife and Bing Crosby's brother. Huh? Duffy, don't be a hog. She wants Lamore's mother. Hello? Duffy, Duffy, you didn't leave me finish before. Duffy, I have just given birth to a brain child. What do you mean it must be an idiot? Look, how would you like a radio show to advertise a joint here starring... This will knock you over with a feather, Duffy. Hope and Crosby. You like that, huh? Thanks. Yep, Dolores Hope and Bob Crosby. Now, don't fly into a transom, Duffy! Relapse. After all, Bob Crosby's got a band. He's getting to be quite a nonentity on his own. Huh? To you, it's still ersatz, huh? Well, look, Duffy, I don't... You know, there's a madness in me method. If we star Dolores and Bob, what is more natural than they should invite down certain of their relatives tonight? Well, that's what I'm counting on. Huh? Oh, no? Look, Duffy, if I don't get Bob Hope and Bing Crosby down here tonight... You can pull every hair out of me head, one by one. Okay. Say, Eddie.
Yeah, Baldy.
Another doubt in Thomas, huh? Eddie, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope will be here tonight, or my name ain't Mud. Look, Dolores Hope and Bob Crosby's coming down here, right?
Right.
And Bing is Bob's brother, right?
Right.
And Hope is his wife's husband, right?
Right.
And blood is thicker than water, right?
Right.
And I have writ a radio show, right?
Wrote.
Wrote.
Right.
Eddie, I think you've taken leave of your tenses. Now, leave us start over now. Dolores Hope and Bob Crosby is coming down here tonight, right?
You go around this time by yourself. So, Duffy's Tavern go have its own radio show, huh?
Right. No, we don't want to start that again.
What you going to do on the show?
Me, I'm going to be the writer and the director and the announcer.
Well, I know you can't write and I know you can't direct, but that announcing, that's something I know you can do.
Eddie, you think you can talk me out of this?
Well, I could talk you out of writing and I could talk you out of directing, but that announcing, that you'll talk yourself out of.
Why couldn't I be an announcer? All you need is perfect diction. Whose diction is more perfect than me own? In fact, people who have heard me voice have called me another Ray Grave Swing.
Yeah, you talk like that and them same people won't call you Swing. They'll watch you.
Oh, yeah? Well, we leave that up to the average radio listener.
Hiya.
And again, I'm glad to see you again, Kip. Suppose you heard a voice on the radio saying, Duffy's Tavern has the most delicious, the most gustatorial, the most savory food in the country. Wouldn't you rush down here?
Not me, Arch. I was fooled once by that Orson Welles thing. Besides, Arch, what radio announcer would ever be dopey enough to say that Duffy's food is good?
Me, Finnegan.
Even you ain't that dumb. But then again, who is?
You are. Sure. Finnegan, the idea is we've got to advertise the joint. Look, take tonight. Our specialty is pig's feet au gratin. Look, it's cooking on a stove.
Yeah.
Now, you know it, I know it, and a couple of customers in the joint know it. But what about all of the people on the outside?
Open a window and the whole city will know it.
Open a window. Eddie, I don't mean just the city. This program is to attack people outside of the city. Don't forget, they're human beings, too.
They are. There's people living outside the city?
Why, certainly, Finnegan. Hundreds of people live out in the country.
So who are they? The people who went on picnics and got lost?
No, Finnegan, these people dwell there. They are habitat, so to speak. Mostly they're farmers.
They're farmers? Oh, they're the guys that has daughters.
Archie, my name's Crosby.
Oh, which Mr. Crosby shall I say?
Well, you could tell him it's a Crosby without Hope.
Well, Bob Crosby. Well, Bob, leave me bid you a welcome adios. You know, you are by no means the first Crosby to trash our crossholds.
Well, I know that. Bing recommended the place to me.
He did, huh?
Uh-huh, and me, his own brother.
Well, anyways, it's nice to know that the old groaner has a good word for us.
Oh, Archie, I guess he really likes the place.
Yeah, huh?
Mm-hmm. Told me Duffy's Tavern is the kind of a place that, well, a fella can go to and not be ashamed to bring along his horses.
Well, that's nice of Bing to say that, but it's no credit to the joint, you know. Them horses are his. He could be ashamed to bring any place. Yeah, but he's really a sweet guy, though, that thing.
Oh, he's a swell guy. You know, he'd give me the shirt off of his back.
He would, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I still love him.
Yeah, I seen them shake. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. It's wonderful, you know, the way you Crosby stick together through thick, through thin, through storm, through Sinatra.
Sinatra?
Yeah. S-N-I-T-R-O-T-A, Sinatra.
I don't believe that I know the person to whom you are referring, old man.
Oh, look, Bob, don't con me. You know very well who Sinatra is. After all, don't forget, you Crosby's was the first ones to swoon.
Oh, I know. You mean Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Why should we worry about him, Arch? Bing has money in the bank. I've got my orchestra. My brother Everett's got his own business. And my other two brothers are set for life.
Yeah. In the clink, huh?
No, they're in business.
They're in business? What kind of business?
Selling Bobby socks. We don't worry about Sinatra.
Oh, speaking of Bobby socks, Bob, I would like you to meet Miss Duffy, the daughter of the establishment. Miss Duffy, this is Bob Crosby, the brother of a very large establishment, too.
How do you do?
It's mutual. Mr. Crosby, here's something that might interest you. Our club, the Ten Jolly Girls AC, just took a poll.
Well, what sort of a poll?
It was a poll to pick the handsomest band leader. And I'd like to tell you that you won first prize.
Well, gee whiz, thanks.
Yes, I'd like to tell you that, but the truth is you came in fourth.
I came in fourth. Well, who beat me out?
Cary Grant, Wendell Willkie, and Harry James.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Cary Grant isn't a band leader.
I know, but he's honorary winner of all our polls.
Well, how about Wendell Willkie?
Well, for him, we just felt sorry.
On account of he wasn't a pole, I suppose.
Well, and Harry James. Now, look, I admit that he's got a great band, but as for looks, well, I don't want to appear conceited or anything.
Well,
but...
you see, Mr. Crosby, we had never seen either of you, so we left it up to Betty Grable.
Look, Miss Duffy, we have just taken a poll to pick the girl without whom we would much rather. You're the lucky winner. Now, Bob, leave you and me talk business. But first of all, allow me to compliment you on how well you've been doing lately.
Oh, gee, thanks, Archie.
Yes, well, you know what? Some guys, having a successful brother can turn him into a bum. You did it on your own.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say that, Archie.
Well, I like to give the devil his dues. Only today I was talking about a radio program, you know, for the Duffy's Tavern, and I says to myself, who should be the star of this program? So I thought for a minute, and then, bing, it came to me, Crosby. Huh? I mean, Bob, it came to me, Crosby, you know? So, excuse me. Hello? Hello, Duffy. The radio program, we'll audition for you in a little while. As soon as Bob Hope and Bing Crosby get here. I'm telling you, they'll be here. Look, Duffy, if they ain't, you can cut off me right arm. Okay? Okay.
Hey, Lefty.
Yeah?
Mrs. Hope just arrived.
Where is she? Oh, that cutie over there. Imagine a good-looking dame like that being married to... Well, good evening, Mrs. Hope. Well, I never dreamt that Bob Hope was married to such a delicate hunk of punkitude.
That's a very pretty speech.
Oh, perish forbid. Compliment is all mine. So you're Mrs. Hope, huh? Who'd ever thought that Hope's better half was so much better? By the way, is he perchance going to drop down here tonight to pick you up? Does he know you're here?
Perish forbid.
What do you mean?
He doesn't allow me to come to places like this.
Well, I don't know why. After all, Duffy's caters to ladies. Look over there in the corner. A pink cuspidor. And for feminine use only. See, this is the kind of a place that customers even bring their mothers. See that big guy over there? That's Moriarty. And who's that sweet little old lady beating him over the head? His mother. Yeah, Bob's got this place all wrong.
This place is really sort of a sewing circle.
Well, not exactly a sewing circle.
Well, it should be. Moriarty will need at least 7 stitches.
7? Hey! Oh, boy, that's terrific. I bet you and Hope keep gagging each other all the time.
No, but you just gave me a thought.
Ah, you're kidding. I bet you and him is like a turtle and a dove. I bet you're even jealous of him, huh?
Jealous?
Well, the way he kisses that Dorothy L'Amour in all them pictures, you know, that L'Amour's got plenty of toujours.
I know, Archie, but Bob says kissing girls in pictures is strictly business. It's just like signing contracts.
He told you that, huh? I don't know. That L'Amour's lines don't look dotted to me.
Chayache.
Finnegan. Kip, this is Mrs. Bob Hope.
Bob Hope's wife?
Yeah.
That's funny. There ain't the slightest bit of resemblance between us.
Resemblance? Finnegan, your mother is married to your father. Do they look alike?
Exactly. Except my mother has a small mustache.
I believe.
Yeah. Mrs. Hope, I want to tell you, you have a very funny husband, too. I listen to him every Wednesday.
He's on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays? Dang. Ain't he the fellow who says, "How do you do?"
No.
He ain't? Well, I feel sorry for you, Mrs. Hope.
Why?
You're married to an imposter.
Oh, please, Finnegan. You'll have to excuse Finnegan. Dolores, what happened is that one day Dunninger, you know, took his mind and he never retained it. Now, Dolores, leave us get down to business here.
Mr. Archer.
Yeah, Eddie?
The customers here's all asking when Mr. Crosby's going to sing.
Oh, well, tell them any minute now. Bob, how's about singing a number, huh?
Okay, Art.
And Dolores, you're a singer. How about you and Groner Jr. here? How about you throwing a number together?
Who played the accompaniment?
That's easy. Joe Venuti. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, Arch?
Would you mind accompanying Mr. Crosby and Mrs. Hope?
Sure. Where they going?
Venuti, you know, if you had a brighter look in your eye, I'd think you were kidding. Look, just go ahead and play some music. They'll accompany you.
Okay, Arch. One, two.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Don't you know it's more romantic when a dance is slow? Take it easy. Take it easy. What's the good of feeling high when all the lights are low?
Take it easy. Take it easy. We've got lots of time ahead of us. The night is young. Take it easy. Take it easy. Don't you know this music should be swayed instead of swung?
Take your time. Take your time. Dance it with it.
Take your time. Take your time. Slow if you please.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Don't you know you're not supposed to make a rumba jump?
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
If you don't, I feel that our romance will hit a bump.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Don't you know it's time for romance when the music's sweet? Take it easy.
Take it easy.
You should really try to make your heart control your feet. Take your time. Take your time.
Dance it with you. Take your time. Slow it, please.
Take it easy.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
Take it easy.
That was really bravado, Bob. Bravo, mezzotissimo. You two are great together. Just the two people be the stars on our radio program.
Hey, what's this about a radio program?
Duffy's Tavern is about to take ether.
But, Archie, I've already got one radio program.
Bob, when your brother Bing had one son, did he stop there? Touché?
Well, what in the world am I supposed to do on this program?
Well, it's simple. All you got to do is act in it and get the guest stars.
Oh, brother.
Right, and her husband. You see, Bob and Dolores, to help this first audition, I saw that Tom promised Duffy, our sponsor, that we'd have as guest stars tonight, Bob and Bing.
Oh, Archie, that's ridiculous. I can't ask Bing to go on this clam bake.
And if I asked Bob, his next picture would be The Road to Reno.
Look, I don't know why what you're doing to me. After all, I'm a charming fella. For my sake, why don't you at least try? Go ahead, Dolores. Call Bob up.
Oh, but Archie.
Oh, go on. Here's the phone. Here,
no.
I'll even. Here.
Hello, Mr. Hope, please. Hello, Bob. This is Dolores. I'm at Duffy's Tavern. Now, don't get excited. All right, I won't eat anything. Lunk, what do you know about this place? Oh, Bing told you? What did he say about it? Oh, it's a place where when you order a zombie, you get the manager.
Ask him how he'd like to come down.
Bob, Archie, the manager, has written a radio program, and he wonders if you would come down and... What, Bob? Such language.
And I promised Duffy, Bob Hope, and Bing Crosby. How could you people let me down like this?
Hey, we'll do the show.
But I promised Duffy, Bing, and Bob.
Okay, we'll give him Bing and Bob.
Now, Crosby, don't throw straws at a Downing man.
No, come here. Well, Archie Duffy's on the phone.
Imagine him calling up here. Hello? Hello, Duffy. Well, we're all set. Well, I told you I'd get him, and I got him. Bob Hope and Bing Crosby in person. You don't believe me? Listen in. Okay. All right, fellas, we're all set. Music. Venuti, we start the audience. Presenting the Pig's Foot Hour of Charm. Brought to you by Duffy's Tavern, makers of Mother Duffy's Triple Soap Pig's Feet. The Pig's Foot with a Soul. And starring Bob Hope, Bob Crosby, Dolores Hope, and Bing Crosby. Also, that outstanding personality, your friend and mine, myself. And now we start off the festivities with Bob and Dolores singing our theme song.
Triple soap, Duffy Peter triple soap.
Thank you, Bob and Dolores. And now... A brief word from our sponsor. Folks, are you tired of home cooking? Do you have digestion? Why not come down to Duffy's Tavern? We're in an atmosphere of congealed refinement. You can participate of a home-cooked meal. Our prices are beyond the reach of the smallest purse. So for real gutsatorial delight, come to Duffy's Tavern. And now leave us present our first guest star for the evening, Bing, Boo-Boo-Boo, Crosby.
Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Well, he's a little off-key tonight,
and
Duffy.
The gold of her hair.
And thank you, Bing Crosby. And now, ladies and gentlemen, another brief word from our sponsor. Tonight, in addition to Triple Soap Pig's Feet, we are also featuring... We are also featuring Mother Duffy's famous Irish borscht. Look for the big red beets in the plate. And now, our second guest star of the evening, Bob Hope.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bob Pig's Feet Hope telling you to eat the feet that are triple soaked and no one will wonder why you croaked. Or to sell his feet to Duffy's Tavern is every pig's idea of having.
Hello? Hello, Duffy. You like Hope, huh? He's better tonight than he's ever been. Well, what do you think of the show so far? Should have more commercials, huh? All right, okay, Duffy.
Or?
Thank you, Bob Hope. And now, a word from our brief sponsor. Duffy himself, the smiling Irishman. Duffy personally says, try the blindfold test. Close your eyes and stick a plate of Duffy's pig's feet under your nose. Then, stick a plate of ordinary pig's feet under your nose, if you still have a nose. Duffy's feet run first every time. Remember, with men who know their pig's feet best, it's Duffy, 6-5.
what one of our leading pig growers has to say. I said, hear what one of our leading pig growers has to say.
Oink to Duffy.
And remember, folks, no other pig can make this claim. And furthermore, ladies and gentlemen...
Hey, Archie, Archie.
Yeah?
We're going.
Yeah, this program really oinks.
But look, you can't leave. Now you have to do the closing theme song.
Okay, shall we give it to him, Dolores?
But definitely.
Duffy's pig feet hit the spot. Just a nickel buys a lot. But if you'd rather spend a dime, arsenic takes much less time.
Good night, Archie.
Good night, Archie.
Hello? Duffy, I didn't write it. I'm fired. Duffy, don't fire me, please. Honest, I promise you, if I ever get mixed up in another thing like this, you can run me through a meat grinder.
One hamburger coming up.
Duffy's. Hello, Duffy. Yeah, next week, Dennis Day. Yeah, you know, he's joining the Navy. Yeah, after this, Jack Benny's only going to see his dentist twice a year. Yeah, when he's on furlough. Well, so long, Duffy. I'll see you next week.
Duffy's Tavern, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 25th, 1944, from the NBC Blue Network. And that brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.